Luke 1, 26 through 34. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. How would you like that greeting, ladies? It's no wonder that it says when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation or greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I trust the Lord will take his word, prepare our hearts as we have the chance to look at this portion this morning. Look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? We are thankful, Father, for the privilege that's ours to be here today. We are approaching a favorite season in these short days ahead as we celebrate the birth of your Son into this world. We thank you, Father, that you have given to us the details, you have given to us the account. We can look at it from different perspectives. We marvel at what it means. We marvel at your love for us, that you so loved us, sinful mankind, that you sent your Son into this world to one day die in our behalf for our sins. It took a miracle, and we thank you and praise you for the chance to look at even this account this morning. Pray that our hearts would be blessed as we review that which is so familiar. May it not bore us, but may it inspire us, Lord, as we look once again at the truth of this marvelous story. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen. And you may be seated. Before I actually get started, let me give you just a quick update with what's happening with our friends down in Colombia. And if you did not notice it, posted on the wall by the fire extinguisher out here, because the lighting is better than on this side of the hallway, there is an article put out by Bibles International in their December Briefings magazine, which is highlighting the work that the Noskers and Pino and Rosa are doing right now down there in Colombia. I posted that so that you, the church family, I know you've been in prayer, stop and read it. If you can't do it today, do it. It'll be there for a couple of weeks or so, so that you see the progress that's being made. And we try to share with you. We heard a voice message from Bob yesterday. This past week, Pino and Bob completed Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews. And having preached through Hebrews and knowing its difficulty, I was kind of surprised that Bob said that the book of Hebrews was not nearly as challenging as they anticipated it to be. He said, actually, some of the earlier ones we struggled more with than the book of Hebrews. But that's their accomplishment this week. We mentioned it Wednesday evening, I think, at prayer meeting. Bob did get his renewed 90-day, what do you call that? Visitor visa, something like that. We rejoice in that. That allows them, that took him away from the illegal alien status. They can legally be there for the next 90 days, but that still is not the visa they need. Bob calls it a nomad visa. They need a nomad visa to be able to open up a bank account, to be able to purchase insurance, medical insurance. And he said, and then he said, and we're finding out that even if we could purchase medical insurance at our age, the cost is astounding to be able to purchase medical insurance. Bottom line is, we need to continue to pray that the Lord would keep Bob and Pat, Pino and Rosa from getting something serious as far as their health is concerned that would cause Bob and Pat to have to return to the States where they could get treatment or whatever. He said, they're not going to issue a nomad visa until this next temporary visitor one expires, which is in the spring, March the 4th. So keep praying for them. Keep praying for this contact they have in Pennsylvania or New York. Elma, E-L-M-A is the lady's name. She is a Venezuelan that is handling all of the financial situations. Bob said, you know, we took money with us, but we're about out. And he said, the problem is how to get money to us without being able to have a bank account there. So we need to continue to pray that those details could be worked out for them to be able to access money. You gotta have money to live, right? Right. And that was an update that I wanted to share. Still no word yet from the doctor on why Bob's heart pulse is so low recently. They put him on that heart monitor, but they've not gotten any word. His heart rate is down in the 40s sometime. And so continue to pray about that. Luke chapter 1, if you still have your Bibles open, if not, open them there. We saw last week Isaiah's remarkable revelation regarding the name of a coming one who proved to be our Lord and Savior. What's so remarkable about the name? Well, remember we saw in Isaiah 9:6, the prophet said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government authority shall be upon his shoulder, and his name, this coming one, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. What a revelation. This one who is coming, it'll be safe to call him the Mighty God. That's who our Lord is. It's safe to call him the Everlasting Father. This coming Son is eternal. This coming one is deity. And finally, the Prince of Peace. Oh, how the world looks for peace, huh? This very moment, all over the world, the areas where there is anything but peace, wars, conflicts, not when our Lord comes to this earth to rule and reign. And we find that he's going to rule and reign forever. Well, as we think of that, today we're in Luke chapter 1. And I have decided to use these Sundays this month for us to consider these familiar stories that contain foundational truth regarding this coming season and the birth of our Savior. And so, having said that, today, here in Luke chapter 1, we're looking at the account, the record of the angel giving the news to Mary and all that entails. So as we think of the familiar narrative, hey, you note takers, this one's going to blow your mind today. I think I've got about 8 points. So you 1-2-3ers, sorry about that. You're going to run out of fingers here. But number one, in verses 26, 27, and 28, let's notice Gabriel's appearance. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. As we think of Gabriel's appearance to her, again, try to imagine what that must have been like. How many of you have ever had an angel appear to you? Anywhere here? Just suddenly, there he was. That would have been as interesting as we could imagine. But then to listen to this one begin to talk to her and reveal to her the things that he had to say. When he said, first of all, you're highly favored, you're very fortunate, highly favored, very fortunate. The Lord is with you, and you are blessed among women. Well, naturally, you let your eyes glance down to verse 29 as we think about Gabriel's appearance. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Wouldn't you have been? And so, number two, verses 29 and 30, we find Gabriel's assurance. Mary was troubled. She was puzzled. She had no idea why he was saying what he was saying to her. And look at 29 and 30. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of greeting, salutation. What does he mean by this? What does he mean? Highly favored among women. Blessed. What could this be? And the angel, verse 30, said unto him, "Fear not, Mary. Fear not, Mary. You have found favor with God." I think, as I try to imagine that meeting between her and the angel Gabriel, who had appeared in the form of a man, which is no problem for angels, how that must have been an assurance in her heart when he didn't look at her and just refer to her as woman, you know, you're highly favored among women. But in verse 30, he said what? What did he do? He spoke to her by name. He spoke to her. He used her name. And he said, "Mary, you don't have to be afraid. What I'm telling you, I did not come to frighten you. I came to encourage you." And so we see here number three in verses 31 through 33, Gabriel's announcement. He says, "You are going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to bring forth a son. And this is the name you're going to give him. You will call him Jesus. Jehovah is salvation." That's what name you're going to give him. Jehovah is salvation. "He shall be great. And he is actually going to be called the Son of the Highest." What was Gabriel revealing to her at that instant about this child that she was to bear and give birth to? Who would he be? Pardon? The Son of God. I try to fathom, I try to imagine as she stood there, sat there, whatever the scenario was, as Gabriel appeared to her, what words to Mary's ears as he made this announcement. He said, "You're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. And he's going to be great. He's going to be important. He's going to be someone who is going to be well known. In fact, he is going to be the Son of the Almighty God. You are going to give birth to God's Son. Does that sink in? Can you compute? Does that relate? What must that have been to her ears? And he goes on and he says, God, the Lord God, is going to give him the throne of his father David. That wasn't as, what would we say, remarkable to comprehend the fact that he would be a descendant of David, because she and Joseph were both descendants of David through different lines, but nevertheless, they were descendants of David. And so if she's going to have a son, he's going to be, but he is going to sit on David's throne. We've been looking at the book of Jeremiah in recent weeks, and it's been talking about promises made to David, especially in 2 Samuel 7. We looked there for some material, but in Jeremiah chapter 33, we saw Jeremiah the prophet made reference to David and David's seed and occupying the throne, and they had waited for hundreds of years. And here we find the angel is telling Mary, this son that you're going to bear is going to be God's son, and he's going to sit and reign as king on David's throne, in the line of David. What else do we see? He'll reign over the house of Jacob. That's David's line. How long? Forever. Things don't last forever, do they? But this child you will bear, this son, God's son, who will actually be reigning as king on David's throne, he will have an everlasting kingdom. He will reign over the house of Judah forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. As we stop and think about this, we think of how this must have sounded to her, and yet it seems as though Mary had no idea that there would be any miracle in this birth with regards to the fact that she was a virgin. Why do I say that? Because of our next point. And in number 4, in verse 34, we see Mary's amazement. In verse 34, notice, she did not respond to Gabriel, the angel, and say, this can't happen because you know virgins don't have children. It takes a man. What was her response to this? How shall this be, as our message title in your bulletin here for this message this morning? Seeing I know not a man. I am not having relations with a man. It takes a man for conception to take place. And how shall this be? I'm not in a physical relationship with any man. You say, well, wait a minute. It said back there in verse 27, this virgin was espoused, or we would call it engaged to a man by the name of Joseph. And next week, we're going to be looking at Matthew's account and the record regarding Joseph, but we just say this, the espousal time was something that was actually entered into, and it was as binding as marriage itself, and it usually lasted a year, this engagement or espousal period. All the while, the man and the woman were separated from themselves. They were not able to be together until the marriage. How legal was it? We'll find out next week. As legal as if they were actually married. But they just were not having relations together. And so Mary, I don't see that she was at that moment thinking, oh, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Here we go. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name what? This didn't ring a bell with her, because to her it was, got to have a man. For me to conceive and bear a son, and I'm not having any physical relations with a man. Verses 35 through 37 is number 5, Gabriel's answer. And the angel answered and said unto her, don't worry about it, Mary. Now, he didn't say that in the King James. But he said, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And we find here in that 35th verse some interesting truth that Gabriel gave to her. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. I think I've told you before, quite often it's worth your time to grab a hold of a concordance if you have one at home. When you come to a familiar verse like this and ask yourself, well, come. That's a common word, isn't it? Yes or no? You think you're going to find come a lot of times in the Bible? Sure you are. But just like last week in Isaiah 9:6, when we looked at Philippians chapter 2, that the Lord God shall give unto him a name which was what? Above any other name on earth. That was a very rarely used word. You find above hundreds of times in the Bible, but this was a very unusual word. Would it surprise you that come is a very unusual one here when it says that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you? Only found about a half a dozen other times in the New Testament among the hundreds of times the word come is used. One of the places that we find that one of the half a dozen times it's used elsewhere is a very familiar one, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. That doesn't just mean that he's just going to suddenly, there's going to be some operation take place. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you in a special way. And when that happens, you'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I like what one source said regarding this 35th verse. And I quote, "By a process we cannot explain, Mary will find herself with child through no human agency. Conceived by God, Jesus would be of sinless nature, though no less human due to that fact." Isn't that a good way to explain that 35th verse? The Holy Ghost shall come upon you and he'll overshadow thee. And by the way, I think overshadow is only used 2 times in the New Testament. This is one of the two. And that holy thing which shall be born of thee is going to be called the Son of God. We can't explain that. But you know what? I believe it. I don't have to be able to explain it. I just praise God for what he did here. That somehow, some way, Mary, though a virgin, the Holy Spirit would be operative in her body, and the process of birth and generation and conception would take place, and she would bear a son. Fully God and fully human. That's what makes our Lord so special. You know, people get all excited about Santa at this time of the year. Santa's no big deal. Santa's something someone made up. You know, this is the one and only. There has never been before, and there will never be again another Son of God born of a virgin, because God sent his only beloved Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Aren't you glad? And so we see here, as we continue on, Gabriel's answer to her when she said, "How can this be?" The Holy Spirit is going to do a work, and you will bear one that is going to be called the Son of God. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." You see, just to confirm for Mary's benefit, he announced to her the news that perhaps she had not yet heard, that Elizabeth, she was barren. They were both well stricken in years, but the angel had appeared to Zacharias and had said, your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a son, and he's going to be the forerunner of the Son of God. And Zacharias had a little trouble believing that, and he lost his voice, lost his speech, until Elizabeth actually bore John. We call him John the Baptist, who was our Lord's forerunner. And we find here to give Mary some assurance that, in case you're still having trouble processing this, Mary, by the way, your cousin, this is the sixth month with her, and you know she's old. You know she's too old to have children. But she's 6 months along. Because with God, verse 37, what? Nothing is impossible with God. Do you believe that? We say it, but do we live like we believe it when we come up against some of the issues of life? Sad to say, so many times it's just words. And we demonstrate by our fears, by our panic, by our worries, by our concerns. I know nothing's impossible with God, but may God help us to be more trusting. May God help us to be more men and women of faith. This God is still alive, beloved. And this God is within us if we have received His Son as our own personal Savior. His Holy Spirit is living within every true child of His. And beloved, tell yourself, nothing's impossible with my God. Nothing is impossible with my God. You want something to chew on as you go home? Tell yourself that. Nothing is impossible with my God. Well, after she heard that, that brings us to verse 38, and that is number 6. And in verse 38, we see Mary's acceptance. She's stood there. She has voiced her puzzlement, if that's a word. If it's not, I just made it up. You know what I mean, puzzlement. She was, how can this be? And Gabriel set her mind. He answered all she needed to know and gave her assurances. And in verse 38, we see her acceptance. Because it says, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. We marvel at such faith and submission. And we see by the words that she spoke, she needed nothing else than God's word of assurance from Gabriel to her. And the next few verses are important to us. We got two more points if you haven't been keeping count. In verses 39 through 45, I want us to see number 7, Elizabeth's affirmation. Elizabeth's affirmation. it tells us here in verse 39, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted or saluted Elizabeth. What's she doing? She's going to go do what? She's going to go find out. This was great news about her cousin that was older than she was, that nobody ever thought she would be able to have a child. And Gabriel said, your cousin Elizabeth, this is the sixth month with her, and everybody thought she was barren, but she's going to be bearing the forerunner of your son. And so Mary arose with haste and went to where Elizabeth and Zacharias lived. And we find here, it came to pass when, verse 41, when Elizabeth heard the salutation or the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we find, beginning at verse 42, Elizabeth, now who has been filled with the Holy Spirit, is speaking by the Holy Spirit. She spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. Have we heard that before? Where did we hear that? We heard that in verse 28 when Gabriel was first appearing to Mary when he said, hail, highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And speaking by the Holy Spirit, her cousin responded with that same blessing to Mary. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. What is she confirming there? Through the Holy Spirit. What's she confirming? Mary is what? Pregnant. You already have a child within you. How did Elizabeth find that out? It was because she was filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 41. And notice as we think of Elizabeth's affirmation, she speaks that Mary is blessed. She speaks of the unborn child as blessed. Mary was single, yet Elizabeth acknowledged that she, a virgin, was with child. And look at what Elizabeth affirms in verse 43. Whence is this? How can this be that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? What words of affirmation. What is Elizabeth acknowledging here? She is acknowledging that Mary is carrying the one who is Elizabeth's Savior. How is this? How can this be that the mother of my Lord has come to me? It's a familiar story, isn't it? Gabriel, Mary, Elizabeth, but what truth is affirmed in this old, familiar Christmas story? She goes on and she says, As soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which the Lord told you. I'm translating it a little bit, paraphrasing it, but what words of affirmation Elizabeth is giving to her cousin Mary. When you greeted me, my own baby leaped with joy. I marvel that the mother of my Lord, my Savior, has come unto me. Mary, everything the Lord told you is going to come to pass. You say, well, I've never really paid any attention to it. Pay attention. These are great words, great truth. And that brings us 46 through 56, Mary's adoration. So as we look here in verse 46, Mary said, my soul doth magnify or praise the Lord. And notice the revelation in verse 47. Any Catholic that's listening out there on the internet, what did Mary reveal in verse 47? My spirit hath rejoiced in God. What's the next two words? My Savior. I need a Savior. I'm not who the Catholic Church has made me to be. My spirit is rejoicing in this news of God, my Savior. I am bearing and will bear and give birth to my Lord and Savior. And she goes on, praises how God has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. From henceforth, all generations are going to call me blessed. Yep, it's sad that the Roman Catholic Church has elevated her to a position God never intended her to be. She is not still the Virgin Mary, as the Catholic Church likes to refer to her as. You say, well, how do you know that? The Gospels record for us the names of brothers and sisters that Mary and Joseph had after Jesus was born. She didn't remain a virgin forever. Once Jesus was born, they started having children on their own. And so we find here his mercy. He that is mighty, verse 49, has done great things. Holy is his name. And so on here. And we find in verses 54, 55, she praises God for keeping his promises. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. She praises the Lord that God is going to keep his promises made to Abraham long ago. Well, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is something that even this day, there are some who deny that. And we're going to get into that portion of Scripture next week as we look at the angel's visit to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, connecting it with Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. But virgin birth, there are people who doubt it. There are people who deny it. There are people who try to explain it away. But the truth is, it happened through the power of God. And it's only because our Lord and Savior was born of a virgin, he could go to the cross as a sinless man and bear your sins and mine in his own body on the tree. You see, just a common man couldn't do it because every common man was a sinner by nature. But what God did for us through the miracle of that birth, yeah, we can marvel, kind of like Mary at first. How can this be? Well, I trust the explanation has been a blessing and an encouragement to you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, thank you once again for the privilege that was ours to review a story so familiar. We've heard it time and time again over the years. And yet I thank you for what is revealed here. The miracle of the virgin birth. We can't explain it, we just believe it. And we thank you that nothing is impossible with you. Thank you for sending your Son, our Savior. Help us to spread the good news this Christmas season. In your name I pray and I thank you. Amen.